Okay, welcome everybody to the Parental Power Call this week. We're glad to be here. I've got Vicki with me again, as usual.
Hello.
Hi. And we have on the line with us a guest today. His name is Michael Furtig. Michael, would you like to say hello to our listeners?
Hello, everybody. I'm so glad to be here.
We're glad to have you with us. You have agreed to join us today for some specific reasons, and I want to give a brief introduction to who you are and what it is that you're doing. Michael is the CEO and I believe the founder, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Michael, but of a company called Reputation Defender. And you can find out more about this company at reputationdefender.com. It's basically all about protection, self-protection, protection of your children, protection of your reputation. And it has specifically to do with internet content. Michael is coming from a background in entrepreneurism, especially as it relates to the internet and getting businesses going in that direction. He has a background in law. I understand that you're a graduate of Harvard Law School. Is that right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
And so you've got some good experience on the legal end as well as on the entrepreneurial and the business end. And I just want to welcome you, Michael, to our call today and maybe just give you a few minutes to give any additional information about yourself or introduction that I may have left out. Tell us a little bit
Thank
about
you. So you. Much, doctor. Thanks so much, Doctor. I'm very grateful to be here. And in case what I say does turn out to be of interest to your listeners or to anyone else in your community, I've set up a special code that allows anyone on this call or anyone you share it with to try what I'm going to describe and what we do free without any fee. So if you use the code, you go to reputationdefender.com and you sign up and you use the promotion code Michael, that's my first name, Michael, RD, as in Reputation Defender, Michael, and the letters R and D, then you can try our stuff free, so you don't even have to take my word for it. Okay.
Oh, great.
That's great. Thank you for your generosity.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. My pleasure. So the inspiration for this company was that I was noticing that young people, I'm 29, so I'm not quite of the generation that was internet native. I'm a little bit older. But I was noticing that young people in schools, I was reading articles and seeing this on the news, in schools were doing the same things and are doing the same things to one another that they've always done to one another in every generation. They tease one another and get teased in turn.
Oh,
but
yeah.
The difference between today and yesterday is that we used to do it in every generation until now on a piece of paper. And we'd pass around class, and the note would pass around, and everyone would have a good time. Mm-hmm. And it would be hurtful, but you'd throw away the piece of paper at the end of the day. So it doesn't linger, right? It's not permanent, and it's not public. So it doesn't last beyond the school day or the school week. It doesn't go to the next town or go to the next school or travel with you from middle school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a big difference that I was noticing, because if you do it on the wall of a web page, it can turn out to be both permanent and public. And that's a very disruptive and disturbing, for me, set of changes. So I said, you know, someone's got to do something about this. It requires some amount of knowledge of law and some amount of knowledge of technology. So maybe, Michael, you got to do something about it. And then I realized, well, parents are also probably interested in knowing what other kinds of people, not just other young people, but maybe college admissions officers, or maybe, in some cases, troublemakers. I mean, we all know about the pedophiles, but not just pedophiles, other people who are looking just to take advantage of young people on the web, and what information they can find on the web. So we developed a set of tools specifically to furnish parents with tools that they need to keep up with it, because the truth is most parents, even though they love their kids, they understand their kids, don't have the tools to keep up with their children on the web today.
Definitely not. The technology has surpassed most parents' understanding.
For sure. And that's not a knock on parents, right? It's just,
no.
You know, it's just every generation that's turned out to be true. And the thing is, when parents finally become wise to maybe Facebook or Zynga, the kids migrate somewhere else.
Right.
So we spend the effort to make sure that we know what's up. And here's a good kernel of an example of why this is important. You can Google your kids, and I think you should. You should look them up on Google. Most of the time when it comes to kids, the stuff that we see that turns out to be problematic does not start on Google. It starts on one of the social networks that is not indexed by Google. That means that Google goes to the outer door, the outer gate of the social network, and says, "Can I come inside?" And there's a little piece of code on the social network door that says, "No, you don't search inside here." And so you don't get a sense through Google of what's inside that social network. So there's a picture that's shared, or it might be racy, it might be suggestive, it might be just a little bit inappropriate for the age. There's a picture that's shared, there's a comment that's made, and then eventually it either gets archived or indexed by a search engine when the search engine actually is allowed to enter, or it gets copied and then put outside of the search engine, and then it's out there in Google. And then first thing you see then, it's too late because it's the first result that shows up when your kid is searched. So So normally what we find in the cases of young people is that it's important to know in advance of it's showing up on Google what's out there, and nipping it in the bud as quickly as you can, because that way it does not get mirrored, it does not get archived. You can actually take it down from the web 100% and never have it impact your kid.
So there are ways not only to know what's out there, but then to do something about it, and that's what your company is all about.
That's exactly right. We're the only company in the world that will seek to remove content from the web entirely if the client asks us to do so. Now, the good news is that parents, in cases of parents, when we find something about their kid that they don't care for, we can, of course, go ahead and seek to remove it if they want us to. But often enough, just knowing about it is enough for the parent to be able to then solve it him or herself without paying us another fee. So they can often go to the neighbor and say, "Hey, did you know that your kid and my kid are in this exchange? Maybe let's talk to our kids about it together." Mm-hmm. Or they go to their own kid and say, "Look, you know, I love you and I understand that you're enjoying yourself on the web, but, you know, if you get into this kind of conversation with someone on YouTube," or so that was a case of a real customer of ours. One of our customers is a mom in New Jersey, and her son was very involved in YouTube and was creating videos out of claymation kind of thing. I think it was actually Lego, but they were enjoyable. They were young. He was a young teen, and he was actually doing very well and getting a lot of views on his videos that were fun. They were harmless, but because he got a little bit of a profile, he got into sort of popularity disputes with other people in the world. Some of them adults, some of them kids. And some of these disputes, as you know, because you never meet people on the web in person, they can get quite vicious for no good reason.
Right.
Anyway, we uncovered this entire universe of stuff that he was doing that the parents had no idea about.
Okay?
So he wasn't doing anything bad. He was just being a kid and enjoying himself and making interesting videos on YouTube. Nothing too racy at all. Just regular, fun, interesting stuff with characters talking to each other. But the mom, who has a very close relationship with him, was just surprised, had no idea what was going on the Internet. And so very quickly, she was able to talk to him. They had a very positive conversation, and everything was sorted out very quickly. The negative conversation stopped, the unhappy content came down, and everything was hunky-dory again. So often enough, just knowing about it is enough for the parents to be able to take care of it themselves.
So where would be the first step to just go out there and find out what you're, you know, you talk about Facebook, and to be honest, I've heard of it, but I've never actually visited there. I put a foot down with some of my kids on MySpace a while ago, and I checked to make sure it's not visited, but I haven't really checked a whole lot about Facebook. Where would be the first, how the parents know about social networks and keep up on what's new in social networking?
And can I add something here too, Vicki? I'm just thinking, Michael, as I was listening to you talk about this, I have also heard about a lot of these things, but my familiarity with it is limited. And I have a sense that parents are probably less sophisticated when it comes to some of the social networking. Some of the terms that are used are going to be completely foreign to parents. And I hear that's what you're asking too, Vicki, is where do parents go to begin this process of education, assuming that they are now aware of it and motivated to do something about it. What would be your advice, Michael?
Well, thanks so much. So the first thing I'm going to do is plug what we do at my company, because I think it does address this for the parents. And so at reputationdefender.com, parents can sign up for the product that we called My Child. It's only $10 per month, and as I say, if you use the code MichaelRD, you can try it free. There's no cost. There's no risk. You can cancel it at any time. Most of the parents who do try it end up using it forever because they like it. So I'm very happy to offer your listeners that MichaelRD code free. And what we do is we do all the homework for you. So we keep abreast and keep up to date on what all of the websites are that kids like to visit in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world, in different interests and hobbies. And you can enter information, for example, about what your kid likes to do. Is your kid into tennis? Is your kid into computer video games? And by giving us information like that, we can that much more quickly and accurately find all the stuff that your kid is doing and all the information about your child on the web that people can see. We never share it with anyone else. We never give it to anyone else. It's fully secure and encrypted, so you don't have to worry about it's getting out there in the world. But that way, we do all the homework for you. Now, some parents want to do some of the homework themselves, and that's also fine. And what they should do, I think, is go to a couple of the parenting websites that are out there and look to see which social networks are, quote-unquote, hot right now. Which social networks, which websites are kids using? It was MySpace for a long time. Then it was Facebook. There's another one I mentioned earlier called Zanga.
That was the first time I'd heard of Zanga. That's a new one for me, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And there's another one called Pixo that you might or might not have heard of. And what's interesting about this is that so much of what young people are doing, especially if they have cell phones or they have friends who have cell phones, and I'm seeing increasingly in the talks that I give at schools that fifth and sixth graders even have phones. And a lot of these phones have little cameras on them, right? So they take pictures of each other. And what happens is, and it's fun, it's innocent. A lot of what happens to young people on the web begins very innocently and very genuinely. So they're having fun, they're at a school trip, they take a picture of each other at school, they post it up on their Flickr webpage or their Zanga homepage. These are websites where kids can share photographs. And then somebody who is not known to them comes along, takes the picture, copies it, and then sometimes, very unfortunately, and I'm not trying to scare anyone, I'm just trying to tell one of the things that happens all too often, that picture ends up on a site where people are looking at children, if you know what I mean.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it doesn't mean it's a sex picture. It's just all of a sudden your child, fully dressed and just having a good time, right, is all of a sudden on a website where people are looking at children. And it's just gross, right? And so if you can, and kids just don't think that way. They don't understand what could happen. They don't think about the consequence 1 year, you're in 10 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They think about what's going on right now. And so, you know, the reason we started this company was chiefly, and the first inspiration was to help parents. And it you know, somebody's got to do all of the homework for you. I don't know about you guys. I've had a car for about 11 years now. I got my first car 12 years ago. And I've never changed the oil in my car myself because I can do it. I mean, I've read the manual. But you can go down the Jiffy Lube. The professionals do it. They do it in 20 minutes. And you know what? You don't get dirty doing it, right?
So, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do day in, day out is build technology and build expertise in making sure that we know where kids go and where kids can go wrong sometimes by mistake on the web so that parents don't have to do that homework for them. That's why we exist.
Mm-hmm. I have two questions for you. Names. When you're out there searching, or if we want to search for our kids, you know, a lot of kids don't use their name. They use these little, code names. Matter of fact, I have my son has this one friend who has literally 5 email accounts. And I asked him once why she had so many. I think she does it to avoid being monitored by her parents.
Not being pinned down.
So is that something that your thing can kind of check a lot of different areas, a lot of different names they might be going under? Because if your child's up there, out there under something completely non-related to their name, how are you going to find them?
So We search under every parameter, and there's no limit to the number of email addresses or usernames, right? Sometimes what you might be referring to is a username, like Iowa guy 17, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Those are usernames, and there's no limit to the number of usernames because it's all driven by our technology. So, and then our technology is the special part of our technology, just so you know what kind of technology we're talking about, is called recursive search, which means that we go out there and search for the name, and then maybe we find an email address associated with it, and then we search for the address, and then we search for other clues that that address turns up. So we keep on developing a knowledge base for that user of all of the clues that may or may not end up pertaining to that particular child. And then we show them to the parents, and the parents sometimes can whittle down, oh, that's actually not my kid because that was an old address that my kid uses, but he doesn't use it anymore, but I'm glad to know that you found stuff with that old address, that kind of thing. Right? Mm-hmm.
So the ideal,
there's no limit on that for our service.
So moms and dads need to be try to be as aware of whatever names, email accounts your child has. Try to keep track of that. That could be tricky.
They should. And we can often help with that because kids are not, they're not, I mean, some of the kids are very advanced at really hiding their identities, but most kids aren't terribly. What they end up doing is they end up using use the same username or variations on the same username that are still mathematically discoverable. So it's Iowa guy 17 versus Minnesota guy 17, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're often discoverable. I mean, sometimes we're tripped up, but normally we're able to find just about everything, and normally the kids are surprised. The thing is that I really try to emphasize when I talk with parents about this is that it does not mean, sometimes when I talk with parents and I ask them, do you know everything your kid is doing on the web or is happening to your kid on the web? Often what their instinct is just to nod, and I get this especially from the moms, right? They often say, nod, of course. And then the 12-year-old girl or son is sitting next to him and like shaking his head very vigorously, right? Because the mom sometimes thinks that I'm asking them, do you love your kid? Right, which is just not the question. If you remember what you were like when you were 15 or 12 or 13, your parents didn't know everything you were doing either, right?
Right.
And it's just a new day. It's a new day with new tools. The problem is that today the consequences for mistakes are bigger, right? Because something that your kid does when your kid is 13 or 14, when they're applying to college, can come back and haunt them, right? Or something that your kid does when they're 13 or 14 can become very embarrassing if that photograph they posted up in pure fun ends up in a website that they don't like. We just had another example of college girls that we just worked on. There are these two college-age girls. These are not young kids. They're in college, but they were in a picture, and they're laughing and rolling around on the grass, laughing. I mean, just having a good time. It was the daytime, they were enjoying themselves, just laughing, two girls just enjoying the sun and so forth, enjoying a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of person, who knows what, took this picture with their names, all their identifying information that was up there on the page they posted it on, and they put it on a website about drunk college girls. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go and you can fantasize about the drunk college girls that you're seeing in this photograph. There's no indication that they were drinking, let alone drunk. There's no indication that they were in any way misbehaving themselves. But somebody went and they found this picture with a spider. They found this picture and they posted it. And now all of a sudden, if they didn't have our help, you would have thought these girls are drunk and they're in college and that's what you're looking at. And here are their names and here's where you find them.
Yeah.
And that's what other people are going to believe just because it was posted by some nefarious person.
Right. And you know, that brings up, when you were talking originally, years ago when we just passed a note, a lot of the times we saw who passed the note and you could write it off going, well, that's so-and-so, and they're always spreading rumors. That's one of the problems out there on the web is a lot of people think anything on the web is knowledge. It's fact. It's gospel truth, you know? And I think that's one of the things that damages us.
Mm-hmm.
People will take it for true.
So much you talk. I think you bring up a good point. This concept of anonymity on the internet ends up being so powerful because if you knew that Jane was passing the notes. You know that Jane always does that. That's great. But all of a sudden, you know, this is being viewed by someone in New Hampshire, and you grew up in California.
Right.
Right? And so nobody knows who Jane is. And you know what? It was 5 years ago, so how would anyone even think about knowing who Jane is?
Right.
But for some reason, this is the top result when people search for you on Google, or it just ends up coloring your sense of self, and there's no reason for that. If it happens to someone very famous like Paris Hilton, that's one thing, right? Because they're in the public eye, they've sort of chosen a public life. But if it happens to someone who is a private person, who has not surrendered their right to be a private person, and who's just trying to have a good life and enjoy life, it doesn't make sense to me, especially if they're under, you know, certainly under 15 and probably also under 18, because they're not, like, they haven't developed judgment yet, you know.
Right.
Well,
like you said before, they don't know the ramifications. You know, I had a friend who the son had just young, 13, broke up with a girlfriend, you know, someone they never even really dated, just someone they liked in school. And in that youthful breaking up, they got hurt feelings, and they said some rather mean things on IM that right. caused the parents to come over and say, you know, this could be taken as a threat. This, you know, not even realizing that what he's putting down could actually be taken as a punishable threat. You know, yes. So there's my question there. There's people that write things on blogs. There's people that write things in IM. Can those get searched, and can they then damage your child, like you said, 4 years later when they are applying for college, but there was something that with a silly friend they said, yeah, let's blow him up. He makes me mad. He's a horrid teacher. Are there things like that out there too that you can find?
So IM is normally not searchable. There
okay.
are some technology. I say that with a big but. There are some technologies now that are archiving the IMs, and may end up publishing them. This happened a few years ago when Google bought, something similar happened when Google bought another company in 2001, about 10 years of messages that people thought were private that they had been distributing all around the internet, uh-huh. ended up getting published and indexed and searched by Google. And
wow.
it just turned out to be a big disaster for a lot of people. So IM is not yet a danger, but it's possible that the same kind of thing will happen eventually. In terms of blogs, social networking sites, these definitely get searched. These definitely get indexed. They definitely get archived and mirrored in many, many cases. So anything that's on a website like that or on a social networking page like that, like a MySpace or a Facebook, can definitely live on. And also, there's a big danger here. If you're writing something that is really starting to emerge and it's coming from a change in the technology, if you write something when you're 12 or 13 in 2008, 5 years from now, you're 17 or 18, and it's now 2013. Mm-hmm. The website that has this content that you wrote may or may not actually indicate the date on which you wrote it.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so this is a big shift. The web has changed in the last few years. It used to be that something called HTML, which is a certain kind of a technology that governed a lot of the web pages that were published, was the universal language for most of the web pages. And they were very good at keeping an accurate date stamp of when something was written. Today, that has changed. And so somebody who wrote something when they were 14, which you can forgive when you're 14, or 12, which you can forgive when you're 12, you might forgive less when that person's 18. But you look it up on the web, and you think that that person wrote it, you know, 2 days ago. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? So you've got to be very careful because we get a bunch of misimpressions. It's sometimes very hard to tell that this stuff that you wrote is actually many years old, and someone looking you up might think that you're still going to, quote-unquote, blow someone up, which you take a little bit more seriously when someone says when they're 18 than when they're 12.
Absolutely.
Right? And you treat it differently. So it's just something to be aware of. Again, I'm not trying to scare parents. What my goal is to inform them. You notice that I'm not talking about pedophiles a lot, right? I mean,
I'm trying
to talk about a broader set of issues to inform parents, not to scare them, to take small affirmative steps today so that they don't have to spend a lot of effort cleaning up or explaining something later. It's a big deal. And remember, especially now, colleges, they really care about this stuff, and employers care about this stuff. And stuff that kids are writing, like, even if you're sitting next to the kid who's smoking in the picture, or next to the kid who's drinking the beer in the picture, right? Mm-hmm. Or next to the kid who's holding a bong, right? Not even using a bong, because some kids think it's kind of funny to have a marijuana paraphernalia, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not using it. Maybe they just think it's funny. They saw it on TV, and they're not, they never have smoked pot in their lives. But your child is the one who's sitting next to the kid who owns the bong. They're at the house. Somebody takes a picture of them, puts it up on the Facebook page, tags it with a name so that your kid's name is there. That's gonna have consequences. It's just my firm belief it's gonna have consequences, and you got to be aware of it. You got to know about it before it gets out there in the open.
That's great,
Michael. This has been such helpful information. I hope that this gives all of our listeners and those parents out there who are concerned about protecting their children another resource, something that they can think about. And it doesn't have to be an overwhelming thing. I want to reaffirm also the basic principle of awareness and being aware of what's going on with your children, increasing those communications that you have with your child, regardless of what it is that they're involved with. I think parents need to be more informed and more involved. And Michael, you've given us a resource now where if parents are wondering, you know, what's going on with my child online and what's out there that could be potentially damaging later on or now, your company, Reputation Defender, is a resource for these parents, and I appreciate your making that available to us.
That's great.
Let's, before we close the call, would you mention once again how people can get connected with your company and the generous offer that you've given to our listeners?
Thank you so much. So I invite everyone to visit ReputationDefender.com, ReputationDefender.com, and in the sign-up process for My Child, which is the product for your children to look for your kids, you can use the promotion code. It's a very clear area to write the promotion code, Michael RD. That's Michael RD. And you can try our stuff free. There's no cost to you whatsoever. You can cancel it at any time. And you can give that code to anyone you want in your community who's associated with this excellent broadcast.
Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. Thank you, Michael.
Appreciate that a lot. Well, folks, I will put a link on our blog site for the things that Michael has mentioned here. And let's spread the word to other parents. I think this is a valuable tool.
The most important thing, go out there and find out what it is you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something about it.
Right. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
That's
great.
Absolutely right. Well, thank you again, Michael, for calling in.
And thank you
to everyone else who has called in on today's show and those who will be listening later on the podcast. We'll catch you next time on Parental Power.